Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network.
With my winning smile, I'm a living lesson in flair and style. You just can't help but stare at my savoir faire. I'm nouveau, deco, Roman, Greco, Rococo, Baroque, bebop, hip-hop, flip-flop. Somebody stop me!
Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast, where today I watched the Mask animated series based on the Jim Carrey film with my friend, Chloe Tinney. Chloe uses she, her pronouns. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her. And I'm here if you need to talk.
This is the Mask!
Damn, how do you even jump into this conversation? So, Chloe, howdy.
Hello.
How are you today?
I am excellent. How are you?
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Okay, I'm fine. I have strep throat. This is a great way to start the podcast. I have strep throat. I've had a horrible, like my epiglottis or like my uvula maybe has been swollen up for like the last week.
Oh, Jesus.
And so like I'll be laying and I did not know I had strep until today because I've never had strep throat before. And I didn't think that I was sick at all because I didn't have any other symptoms. So I would be like laying in bed at night for the last like week and a half and then suddenly just like start asphyxiating and not be able to breathe.
Oh, Jesus.
And then like wake up with a start and go out and lay down on the couch and just like cry for a while. And then I went to the urgent care today and they were like, yeah, you have strep throat. Also severe anxiety. You should probably see a therapist.
I wonder why.
Yeah, probably because I'm asphyxiating. I don't know. But he's right. I mean, I should see a therapist, but I'll just talk about it on the podcast instead.
Yeah, no, this is therapy in a way. You're just talking about weird and shitty cartoons and getting your emotions out.
So yeah, I mean, and so, some podcasts do feel like somebody's going to therapy. This podcast feels like I watched the fucking Mask animated series and now we're talking about it.
It's therapeutic in a way because you get to watch it and go, oh, good, my life is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to this.
Right. Compared to the life of Stanley Ipkiss. It's Christmas time when this episode is being released. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Chloe, you grew up in the Mormon church, and I don't know anything about Mormonism. I don't know if that's something you want to talk about on the show.
No, we definitely can if you want to.
Okay.
It's Christmas for me, at least, growing up in the Mormon religion and in theater, it was a weird hybrid of like somewhat super religious, but also we would still have like a regular Christmas where we'd have presents and do the thing where we like have to open them one at a time because our mom has to watch us see all the glory of the different presents or whatnot.
Right. All the spinny propeller caps, the rocking horses.
Absolutely. The train sets.
And matching conductor uniform, all that stuff.
With the really short shorts and possibly the overalls.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then we would have like various songs and stuff that our friends would get together, our other theater friends, and they'd sing Christmas songs, have like concerts and whatnot. It's a weird, interesting upbringing.
Yeah. I mean, I just always had like standard white American Christian Christmas. It's like, open up all the gifts on Christmas Eve, whole family gets together Christmas, you like, I don't know, see a fucking movie. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did try and be a theater kid in high school, and they wouldn't let me.
Rude.
I like auditioned for all the school plays, and I got one speaking role in one of them, where I did like a pantomime at the beginning. It was like my shining moment was me as like the prince in The Princess and the Pea. And
yes.
Yeah. Wait, well, no, it was Once Upon a Mattress. Yeah, that was the one.
Same story.
Yeah. And then later on in the show, I had one line where I was like a background, like a guard. And my line was like, hey, look at that. Open the drawbridge. And I probably delivered it about that well in the play.
Oh, yeah. No, you nailed it. That was peak acting right there.
Aside from that, I just did lights. They wouldn't let me have any roles as a person that talked. So I guess I was bad at it, but I think I'm probably a bad actor. That's probably true.
I'm not everyone can deliver the line about opening gates, so.
Literally, I'm the only person that could. They actually had to bring me to every adaptation of that play that ever was performed. I traveled the country for 4 years before retiring early. So, pretty
like,
cool.
They're like, no, Mia, we need you back, please. No one can open the gates like you.
And they definitely called me Mia when I was 18.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
They definitely just knew. What was your favorite play that you performed in high school?
Oh, God. There are so, so many. Well, right now, I'm working Seussical, which is one that I did multiple times throughout my theater career. I was Jojo, so like the small boy in the original version I did. Then I played Horton in the next one.
What is that? Wait a minute. Okay, go back. What is it like to play Horton the elephant? Do you have a giant prosthetic nose, or are you inside of a costume?
Oh my God. Okay. I played Horton in junior high, where the production value was super high, depending on the parent. So there were like these different costume get-togethers that my teacher would have with all the parents came together, bringing whatever materials they had for home, just sewing shit together. My costume was just sweatpants material, all sweatpants. The ears, the penis chest trunk that happened, the everything. Super comfortable. Looked really terrible.
Oh, wow.
Having to maneuver with that weird chest dick was
on your face. Of course, because that would restrict your voice. So it was, coming out of your chest.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was soft and weird sweatpants material just hanging there like a very, very flaccid trunk dick.
That's good stuff. My weird thing was that, like, in high school, I wanted to perform, and nobody ever thought that I could. Like, I think the people, if they knew now that I was, like, a professional comedian living in L.A. and actually doing that really, really well, they'd be like, the fuck? And then they'd see that I was a girl, and they'd be like, what the fuck? What are you, what? It's a 10-year reunion situation.
I am so scared to go back to any kind of high school reunions because, like,
oh,
I don't know how many people still don't know. I had one person that I saw who I went to do my hair with because she does hair or whatever. And she's like, I tried to find you on Facebook a while back and, like, I searched your name and couldn't find it. But then I found you and I'm like, wait a second. She looks like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I realized I was talking to my cousin about Christmas plans recently, and I realized in the middle of the conversation, I had just never come out to him because I had just talked to a lot of people on that week when I was coming out. And then I came out on Facebook and I was like, anybody who I didn't talk to personally will see it on Facebook. So I was like in the middle of this conversation. He was like, yeah, I like lost a bunch of weight recently. You still like working out, bro? And he was like asking me about like my workout routine. And I was like, yeah, not. I'm sort of going for like different goals now, I guess. Like a little bit more cardio focused. I was kind of ripped before, and that made me uncomfortable. And he's like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "You'll see next week when I come home to visit."
My pecs are a little.
Yeah, my pecs are a little fatty right now.
But only those. Everything else, I'm looking great.
Yeah, I'm really working on fat distribution lately.
I have like these really amazing supplements. They make my skin all soft. It's great.
Oh my God. Speaking of which, The Mask. There's no
great,
way to transition.
Great segue.
Yeah.
No, that was flawless.
Chloe,
very well done.
Did you know that there was an animated series based off of the Jim Carrey film The Mask before I made you watch it at gunpoint?
It's like in a very specific period of the 90s where, like, it makes sense that there was, but I didn't actually know that there was. That was very much the period of time where they're like, oh, this is a popular film. Let's monetize the shit out of that and turn it into a really cheap animated series.
Right. And especially with Jim Carrey, like, he had hit after hit after hit in 94, right? Where it was like, this one...
specifically in 94.
Yeah, I think it was The Mask and Dumb and Dumber came out in the same year, and Ace Ventura, I think, all came out in 94.
That was 94 also?
I think so. I might be a year off on those, but all three of those got animated series.
Yeah, and like Liar Liar was within the next couple years. And yeah, he had quite the career in the 90s, and now he's in Sonic.
So he still has quite the career now.
That's true.
He was in Kick-Ass 2, Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Oh my God, I forgot about those.
Yeah, all three of those movies were from 94. So he just had a really big year, like right off the bat. And then right after that, I think was...
For a second, I thought you meant like Sonic and...
Oh, God.
Mr. Pop were in the 90s too. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, perfect.
Kick-Ass 2 came out in 94, but the first one came out in 2011 or whatever.
Yeah.
Chloe Grace Moretz was negative 14? I don't know.
It was a tricky movie to film, but they pulled it off well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. They really executed. Everybody was like, this is way worse than the first one. I haven't seen the first one yet. We'll get to, anyway, Sonic is going to be something, huh?
I'm not sure what to think about it. I'm intrigued, not so much in the Cats movie way, but more in like like a Smurfs movie way.
I think it'll be more fun than the Smurfs because I think that there's more at stake here. I think when it comes to the Smurfs, everybody's
That's
like,
true.
Oh, okay. But when it's Sonic, everybody's like, maybe it'll be the best video game movie ever. And you're like, oh no, no, it won't.
The bar is so low.
You
the
saw
bar
where they started.
On the ground.
Everybody
oh my
saw
God.
The little gremlin baby teeth Sonic original design. I don't know.
Oh, so terrifying. Anyway, the Mask animated series.
I know. The Mask animated series. Here's the thing. Of all of the cartoons that I've watched on this show based on live action films, this is the most deserving.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, this feels so close to its source material, which I haven't read the comics, but it feels really, really close in tone to the film.
I mean, the film itself is a cartoon. Having rewatched it for this, it's bizarre in how realistic it tries to make cartoons. And then turning that into a cartoon was a brilliant choice marketing-wise. But then, like, the idea of a person with cartoon powers in the real world, but then having a cartoon person with cartoon powers in a cartoon.
Right. And watching The Mask today, I watched it for the first time since I was probably like 7 or 8, really recontextualized a lot of cinema from the late 90s, early 2000s for me. Because I watched like a lot of like bullshit, you know, like the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie or whatever and stuff like that.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
All that makes so much more sense when you're like, oh, they were trying to be something that actually, like there is a base here for everybody to build off of.
Yeah.
Fat Albert from 2004 somehow feels derivative of The Mask from 94. Like,
they use the same computers for him coming out of the TV.
Yeah.
Same effect, same team.
The Mask is to live-action cartoon adaptions what Paranormal Activity is to found footage films.
Probably, yeah. I mean, like, Blair Witch came before that, but nothing was... like.
Oh, that's fair. And I guess Cloverfield...
Roger Rabbit came before The Mask, but then The Mask kind of said, okay, here we go. Let's turn this into the 90s franchise.
And we can't forget Dick Tracy, the huge smash hit film that everybody's seen, Dick Tracy.
I don't even know that movie.
I've never seen it. It's fine. oh my God. So I watched the film today. The cartoon really does like hammer, like they didn't get Jim Carrey, obviously. Rob Paulsen plays Stanley Ipkiss in The Mask in this, which is great casting.
Oh, absolutely. The casting in this show is actually really impressive for how cheaply it was produced. Like, they have Tim Curry as the main bad guy with the crazy eyebrows.
That's true, yeah. And is he, like, recurring? We both watched a couple episodes. Did he come back in any of the other ones you saw?
I think he's recurring. Yeah, he's, like, the main villain.
Okay, because in the episode that we watched, his whole plan was to steal Santa Claus's magical sack. I was like, this could be recurring or this could be brand new.
That line, he's like, I just want to take, I can't even remember how he phrased it, but like something about
right
wanting
here.
His
He says, I want to study your sack, dissect it, learn the secrets of pulling a trillion toys out of one oversized pillowcase. Great stuff.
Only in the Mask animated series could you get Tim Curry to say he wants to dissect someone's sack.
I feel like you could get him to say anything you want. He kind of just went there, didn't he?
That's fair. He is a masterpiece of a human being.
But Rob Paulsen as Stanley Ipkiss, he kind of just sounds like his Stanley Ipkiss is nowhere near as good as his The Mask. Because when he's
right.
The Mask, he gets to just do impressions of Jack Nicholson or like Stallone or whoever he wants to do. And it's like, oh, okay, that kind of sounds like a cartoon version of that person. But then when he's Jim Carrey, he's like, hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm Jim Carrey. And you're like, oh, no, what are you doing, dude?
You're doing great. Please just go back to Animaniacs.
It kind of felt a little bit like when Dan Castellaneta played the genie in the Aladdin series.
Absolutely. I forgot that there was an Aladdin series, too. I thought there was just like the Return of Jafar and then the one where they got Robin Williams to come back for the third one. I completely forgot that they'd made that a series, too. The 90s. What a time for capitalism.
I just can't wait until they remake. I guess it's not a Disney series. I was going to say, I can't wait until they remake The Mask for Disney Plus.
Oh my God.
With like some like Jim Carrey ripoff kid. The kid from Ace Ventura 3 comes back as an adult to play Stanley Ipkiss.
Or the CGI baby from the second Mask movie.
Oh God. With Jamie Kennedy. I forgot. Oh my God, that fucking movie. And it was like 12 years too late.
And Alan Cumming was Loki. So bad. So bad.
What a film. Anyway, so in this episode, which episodes did you watch, by the way? Because I watched the pilot and the Christmas episode, and that was it.
I watched the Christmas episode. There was an episode where he was, like, handcuffed to the detective guy and had to fight the putty and the fish guy.
Right, so I saw the same ones as you.
Okay, and then there was one where he was, like, half and half. Like half Stanley, half the Mask. And it was like a weird two-face thing.
Okay, tell me about that. Because that sounds insane. You can't just fly over that.
Like in the episode, I was just jumping through it. So I didn't actually see the context of how it happened.
Right.
But like he's in a bar and he orders some kind of crazy batshit drink with like battery acid and all this crazy shit and olives. And they're like, we're out of olives. And he drinks it. And I don't know how the Stanley half survived, but then he's like half bullfighter as all the motorcyclists in the bar are like, hey, you're different. Let's beat you up because cartoons. And
so his face was half green, half Stanley.
Yeah, it was the Jim Carrey version of Two-Face. But if he was Two-Face, not Riddler in it.
Right, right.
My brain's going on all these 90s tangents now of all the things Jim Carrey did. And then there was another episode, actually, where they got Ace Ventura to show up. So The Mask and Ace Ventura were in the same episode.
Oh, fuck. Do you think that was like a crossover with the Ace Ventura animated series? Or do you think that it was like a backdoor pilot? Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying. They made Dumb and Dumber Ace Ventura into animated shows.
Oh my God, I missed out on so many quality programs.
I don't think you did. Honestly, you didn't really miss out on much at all.
But it was probably a crossover, yeah.
What happened? Did they like have to do some pet detectiving?
Probably. I just saw the thumbnail for that one, clicked in, and saw like a brief moment where they're both screaming at the same time. Rob Paulsen's doing his best to do like three different Jim Carrey impressions at one time. And
which again, we've established is not his strong suit. Like it kind of does feel like an impression that you would have done in 94 before anybody knew how to do a Jim Carrey impression. Not that I can.
Exactly. No, I mean, right. Like he's an incredible voice actor. There's no real way to get all three Jim Carrey voices into one episode. So props to him for trying.
I bet that like Lloyd Christmas shows up at the end or something like that.
Probably.
Yeah, he's probably.
And he's like, let me show you something.
So the Christmas episode was insane, as Christmas episodes usually are. Like, if there's a Christmas episode of a cartoon and they don't meet Santa Claus, I'm fucking pissed. And this one, he definitely meets Santa Claus.
Yep, or Christmas needs saving because it is the most fragile of all holidays. Mm-hmm. It is constantly in trouble. It is the Princess Peach.
There's never like a Valentine's Day needs saving episode or anything like that.
No. If it's a Valentine's Day episode, it's always some bullshit about like love potions. No, Christmas needs to be saved.
Right.
No one can keep it safe. It is always in danger. Santa can never do his job without some kind of assistance. None of the adults believe that Santa's real.
Right.
Which, how did the presents get there?
Yeah, this is one of those classic situations where, like, some of the adults believe in Santa. If you don't believe in Santa, you're a fucking dick. And everybody's going to be mad at you about it. And everybody's going to be like, oh, why don't you believe in Santa, Chief? That was his second in command.
That was uncanny.
Thank you. Yeah, I've done a bit of voice work in my day. I've recorded, like, 600 hours of podcasts, so I'm getting pretty good at it. I think just dropping into this episode is exactly what you want to do with the Mask cartoon. Because if you start from the beginning, they're going to explain things like, this is where the mutants came from. This is his relationship with the cop guy. If you start in this episode, you'll just have to like dive right in. Like, oh, there's mutants.
Yeah, no, this is the one that I started with. And my reaction for the entire episode was, what the fuck is happening?
Which of this is pre-established? What am I supposed to know going into this? I don't
right.
know.
Right. And like, my only context I had was the movie. I'm like, oh, so it's a guy who finds a magic mask and has cartoon powers. And then you're dropped into the beginning of this cartoon, and he's like outside in the Santa suit. Some other guy is robbing another bank that's right across the street from the bank he's at. And then all the superpower people show up, and you're like, wait, what the fuck? Why is there a fish person with a giant putty man?
The entire situation was so fucked up because, like, classic Stanley Ipkiss shenanigans, his boss is like, you gotta dress up like Santa and go outside. And so he goes outside dressed as Santa to advertise his bank. And there's a bank robbery, like you were saying, across the street with other Santa people. And the cops round up all the Santa people and put everybody dressed as Santa in jail. And it's like, well, didn't you talk to the people at the fucking bank? Like, they would tell you, like, yeah, we made him do that because we thought it was funny.
Well, and like the mayor comes on TV and he's like, this has happened year after year. So now we're just putting a blanket ban on Santa. You're like, this has happened every year.
Oh, I missed
what
that part.
What is happening?
A scourge of Santa Claus has swept the city, causing mass chaos and arsony.
How is that such a reoccurring problem that it was not dealt with up until this point? Like, you let it happen 1 year. Okay. 2 years, that's pushing it. But like every single year, there's Santas that just rob banks.
And I would kind of expect like Santa Claus to step in at some time and put a stop to all of this. Like, he does seem to have limitless powers, and instead he allows himself to be put in jail, but maybe not really. He allows all the Santas to run amok and besmirch his good name.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Santa in this episode is really a weird version of Santa. He's like a weird...
Very judgy, for sure.
He's a dick.
He sucks.
He has all these crazy magic powers, but he's still trying to get Stanley to do his Santa job, but he knows that he can still escape and like leave no trace of his being in jail. And he's like, oh no, the presents were delivered already. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that you couldn't do it.
That's what he does every year, is he Tim Allen Santa Claus is one person to prove that he still got it and nobody else does. Yeah, that was such a weird situation. There's like 12 Santa Clauses in jail, Stanley, the real Santa Claus, and 10 mutants that had tried to rob a bank or whatever. And the real Santa Claus, as they're letting Stanley out, because I guess that his job finally accounted for him, the real Santa Claus is like, Stanley, when you're going out in the world, I'm going to need you to be Santa Claus and deliver all the presents. He's like, I can't do that. And he's like, well, fucking, what, you don't like kids? And then he goes walking down the street dressed as Santa Claus and immediately is confronted by a child that's like, hey, fuck you for not being Santa. And the dad, too, is like, yeah, my kid's right. You suck. You're right. Santa Claus had every ability and intention to escape from jail without ever being seen in there by the police. So why did he put it on Stanley?
And he did.
Yeah, he did. And then he puts it on Stanley, a man escaping from prison, or like being released from prison, that he doesn't know Stanley has superpowers.
Or if he does, he doesn't acknowledge it. He's like, yeah, someone who has heart and hope or whatever.
Yeah, a love like, for
oh,
the
no,
Christmas
actually,
spirit.
Not you, you're just leaving the jail.
Yeah.
He's such an asshole.
So strange.
And then as Stanley's leaving, he's like, I don't know if Santa's real or not, but I have to save Christmas.
Yeah. Did I just meet the real Santa Claus? Like, what? Oh, that's right. Santa in jail, like, shows him, like, his North Pole license or something. Yeah, like a picture of him and his wife dressed as Santa, and he's like, oh, this is Mrs. Claus. And Stanley's like, well, I guess you're right.
My elves.
Yeah. So he goes home and he's like, well, I guess I gotta be Santa now. Like, what does Santa Claus give him the sack? How does that work?
Nope.
Because he suddenly has a magic sack and sleigh. I don't know.
The magic sack that you have to dissect.
Yes, of course. And he goes to his closet, he pulls out the mask, and his dog is barking at him, and he's like, oh, Milo, I gotta do this just one more time. And it's like, this is the fucking mask cartoon. Don't you do this every week, literally? You always save the day.
This is the end of season 1 of 3. Yeah. This is not gonna be the last time. Calm the fuck down. It's Christmas.
He's just like in deep, deep denial where he's like, the last time I put this on, something real bad happened, but this will be the last time. It's just like no oversight
14
at
times
all.
Later.
Yeah.
And then it cuts right to him in the sleigh.
Right.
Like with his dog at the helm, taking him to this random little girl's house who's super entitled about the present she wants. She's like, don't you remember what I wanted, Santa?
Yeah, that's right. Everybody in this show is so mean to Stanley. And I guess that's pretty in line with the film, too, where like this little girl is like literally everybody tells him like, hey, fuck you. You're the worst. And I don't like you. I already told you what I want. And he's like, kid, I have a magic sack here. Like, just tell me what you want. I obviously don't remember you, but I can still give it to you.
She's like, I wanted a rocking horse. He's like, OK, here's a full ass racehorse.
That was pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of great gags in this show. It's certainly enjoyable unironically.
Yeah, I feel like if they had the budget that they want to write for, that it could be like a timeless classic of a cartoon. But it's very much a product of the 90s where the people in charge of making every single business decision, they're like, oh, this is a popular movie. Let's monetize the shit out of it in cartoon form and use no money other than Tim Curry.
The show would be so weird, though, if it looked like Batman the Animated Series. Like, I would be like, why did they spend so much money on this one? This one is one that you don't chip out for, you know?
But then, like, at the same time, there's so many good little nuggets of things, like some of the voice cast, there's some of the lines in there. It has so much potential. Like, the theme song is crazy fun.
I mean, speaking of the theme song, he does do one of his catchphrases from the movie. I think in the theme song, he does, "Somebody stop me!"
He does, that's right.
And then in every episode, he says, "Somebody stop me!" and "smoking."
Yeah, which in the movie, he says, "Somebody stop me" one time, and then "smoking" like three times.
Yeah, but those, yeah, that's true. I mean, those are the most iconic lines, so of course he would do those.
That's true.
Four times in every episode of the cartoon. Like, that's what the kids are there for, you know?
They're watching the cartoon, just waiting. They're like, come on, I don't care about any of this plot. Just give me the one smoking line, please.
It happens, standing ovation from all the kids in the room. They're like, man, these kids are really loving the smoking line. This is like test audiences. Let's just do that for a while. Make a compilation episode that's just him saying the catchphrases from the film.
All the four-year-olds are just cheering.
So he breaks into the little kid's room and he delivers his one present, by the way, as Santa Claus. Doesn't deliver more than one present because he's immediately sidetracked. As he's climbing down this little girl's, he's like climbing out this little girl's window with a giant sack dressed as Santa, green face, and the cops drive by and they're like, hey, that guy's dressed as Santa, we should probably take him in. And not like he's breaking into a little girl's room and escaping with a giant human-sized sack. They're like, hey, that guy's dressed as Santa. Let's take him down to the station. So strange, the logical consistency of the show.
My favorite line from that moment is when he gets on the bullhorn and he's like, come down with your hands up so I can sit on your lap and read you your rights. I'm like, what the
This guy has, like, what are daddy issues equivalent to Santa Claus?
He's like, oh, I don't believe in Santa. I knew since I was 5. I didn't get my Captain Choo Choo.
That's always what it is. It's always some fuckhead that's like, I hate Santa so much. I'm going to murder all the Santas because Santa never brought me what I wanted. And it's like, well, you do realize that was your parents that got you a shirt instead of the Choo Choo train, right? Like, that's your mom's fault. Don't be mad at Santa for that.
I mean, but also, the Santa is an asshole, so I fully sympathize with him.
Yeah, that's right. The Santa in this one wasn't even like, yeah, I didn't bring him the choo-choo because he was bad. He was just like, I didn't do it because I didn't want to.
He's like, I don't give a fuck.
And then at the end, he does give it to him. So it's like, what? How did Calloway earn this? I don't know.
And then they're like chasing him through the looping streets of Edge City going into the park. There's like an ice rink in the park for some reason that wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's never going to be completely consistent with the film. Like, it would be weird if there was like a... No, I guess that would make sense if there was like a Cameron Diaz surrogate walking around, voiced by like Jennifer Hale or something like that, or the voice of Marge. I don't know.
Lisa Simpson as Cameron Diaz as the love interest.
That would be good. Yeah, what was her name? Tina? Who cares?
I think it was Tina. They hired her from a modeling agency to come do the movie, and then that jump-started her career so she could do more movies with people with green faces.
God, I didn't even realize that. I just thought about like how much she is like just there next to the funny person in so many movies. Like, she never really gets to do all that much, but she's always like there with like the biggest comedians in the world.
She is the pretty accessory to the people trying to make the very low quality scripts work. She does it. She's pretty. And then she shows up and does the Shrek movies. And then that's her career forever.
Right. Sex Tape. A great film that I thought about this morning. That's it. That's the whole thought.
No judgment.
So the Masked Santa is captured by his arch nemesis, apparently Tim Curry. Do you know what that guy's name was? It was like Circuitous or something like that.
Oh, Pretorius. Pretorius was the guy's name.
I was so close. So Pretorius captures Santa Claus. And like I was saying, it's kind of hard to tell that he's the arch nemesis of the show, because in this episode, he doesn't really mention the mask at all. He seems to just think that he captured Santa Claus with his giant magical sack and he wants to dissect it. Because again, he didn't get the toy that he wanted as a kid. So he's like, I'm going to dissect your sack and figure out how to get myself a choo-choo.
There's so much baggage with this entire town and Santa. They have to lock up all the Santas. Nobody got what they wanted. And everyone dresses up as him to kind of fulfill some weird, deep fantasy in them to, like, he fucked me over, so I'm going to shit all over everyone else dressed as Santa to make myself feel better.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of get the impression that every villain or every adversary in this entire show, of which there is 40, all are evil because they didn't get the choo-choo they wanted when they were five. Like they're all going to stand in the same room and be like, why don't you like Santa? And then they all say like in unison, like, well, I hated Santa since I was five. I didn't get the choo-choo. I got a shirt instead. It was flannel and red.
I don't know what they have against flannel. Flannel is great.
Yeah.
It is the pattern of the gaze.
Stanley likes it.
So. He does. Oh, does that mean Stanley's gay?
No, he's a Jim Carrey character, so probably not. Well, I Love You, Philip Morris. Is that what the movie was called?
Oh, yeah.
I Love You,
Philip
Morris.
With him and Ian McGregor.
Yeah, I never saw it.
I didn't either.
Do you think it's homophobic? It came out in 2007.
Let's spin the wheel. It is very hit and miss.
One year before I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, the film... I Love You, Philip Morris came out.
Which film was it that finally decided that being gay wasn't the joke? Like, what was the seminal film that decided?
I don't think it's happened yet. I don't think it's come out. But any day now.
It was almost a Jim Carrey movie. We were so close. Yeah, he goes to the main bad guy's house. Then he recreates all of the Christmas Carol within the span of like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it made me realize how similar the mask is to like Pennywise. Like he just takes this guy on a fucking trip through his mind and he's like,
totally.
We're inside of your brain right now. How do you feel? And then like sends it to a thousand years of madness or whatever the fuck. Like he's so all powerful.
I watched a video or a couple of videos about the original comics, how the mask itself grants those same cartoon powers, but the rest of the world stays completely uncartoony. So it's super bloody and super violent.
Mm.
And then when that was translated to the movie, they're like, oh, it's going to be Jim Carrey. So let's make it a little more lighthearted.
Right.
And so then it was a little more cartoony, but it still had that like cartoon affecting reality. And then translating that to the cartoon again. And I don't remember what the point of that was.
Well, no, that's a really good point, though, because it does feel like in this show that Calloway is the reverse mask. Like, in the cartoon,
absolutely.
Everybody's a cartoon character except for the detective, who is a serious man. And you're like, oh, you're the mask. Think about it. Pretty deep. I'm real smart.
Who of us wear the real masks?
Yeah,
Calloway. That was part of the movie, wasn't it? Like the therapist who had the book about we all wear masks.
Yeah.
And that's what inspires him to put it on for the first time.
Right.
And then he goes to him later. He's like, hey, can you help me figure out this mask thing? He's like, I just wrote a book about theoretical masks. I don't know what the fuck you're doing here.
So he takes the guy on a trip through his mind. He escapes. And then suddenly the Santa gang subplot comes back into play. I was like, oh, I thought we were done with this.
Like 5 minutes until the end of the episode.
Yeah. I was like, what is this going to resolve now? What the fuck is this a two-parter? What's happening?
And like the Sylvester Stallone guy is trying to blow up Mr. Winnie the Pooh man to get out.
Yeah, anytime the Jim Cummings shows up, it's like, oh, it's Winnie the Pooh. What is he doing
here? Oh, yeah. It's Winnie the Pooh as a guy whose power is exploding himself.
Yeah. God. That was pretty funny. All of the, like, mutant people in the show have, like, just lame-ass powers. I mean, that was kind of incredible from the first episode of the show where it's these two bum-ass teenagers that are hanging out in like a convenience store that has a monkey in it. Who cares? And then the cop throws them out for loitering and they're like, bro, I want to womp that fucking cop. Let's go to the nuclear power plant and get superpowers like our favorite superhero so we can go womp that cop.
And then they're all radioactive and then the next thing they touch is the powers they get.
Yeah.
They're like shotgunned through these different windows of like a putty and a fish factory.
A putty factory.
Right next door.
Right into the Play-Doh factory. Oh my God. So he beats up all the Santa guys. He saves the day. He takes off the mask and he's like, oh, Milo. Oh,
he doesn't beat them up. He does the same kind of maraca boom chicky boom jingle bells version.
That's right.
And gets them all to start like dancing and he gets them all to do like a snow angel. And then he like drops a giant fruitcake on them.
Good shit. Very festive.
I'm glad that we got all the beats from the movie, but made them Christmas themed. That was very good writing, guys. Good job. Uh-huh.
I mean, The Mask should have been a Christmas movie. That would have been pretty good.
That would have been fun. Oh, I don't know if we should give them ideas. We'll just
Oh, no. The Mask reboot is coming any day now. They're going to do it. Who made that movie? Fox? I don't know. Searchlight. No. New Line.
It was A24.
Yeah, it's going to be a crossover of that and like It Comes at Night. And the It That Comes at Night is The Mask.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's right. You thought the It That Comes at Night was xenophobia and paranoia about others, but no, it was The Mask by Jim Carrey.
And Cameron Diaz is still there.
Mm-hmm. Just kicking
it. We don't know what she's doing. But
no, just doing nothing really.
She's there. She's in a dress. The camera really likes getting underneath that dress at a very PG-13 angle.
God, the movie is so fucking flawed in that way. Like, just that she falls in love with Stanley because she's like, I just like a nice guy. Like, you treat me like a human being. It's like, he does not. Come on. What's happening?
He does
here?
Only because he feels like he's expected to if he wants to be the nice guy. Like, he writes that entire ass letter to the newspaper, and the newspaper lady is like, hey, you're the one who wrote the letter about the nice guys who finished last. That was you. Oh, I want a nice guy like you. And you can tell the entire movie was definitely written by a committee of women.
I mean, it's such a situation where he's like, oh, I can never get a date. I'm Jim Carrey. And you're like, you literally have like two super attractive women just like clawing to get at you in the course of this film. Like, what? Okay, whatever. Who cares? We're not talking about the movie. Any final thoughts on The Mask cartoon before we move on?
I would really love to see another episode with that Santa showing up, just because I want to know his reasoning behind appearing helpless and saying that he needs someone to save Christmas, when really he'll do it all while Jim Carrey is out there trying to save Christmas as the Mask, delivering one present.
And doing it poorly, by the way. Like, yeah, the girl liked the horse, but he didn't give her what she wanted.
And he's like, oh no, I actually solved the problem. This job is not for amateurs. Also, here's the same flannel shirt.
Re-gifting the flannel shirt that the detective didn't want already. Here's a crazy theory, and I'm just now coming up with this. This wasn't in my notes. Every cartoon Santa is the same cartoon Santa. So the cartoon Santa you see in this show is the same as Rubik the Amazing Cube, is the same as like the fucking Rambo show probably has one. And any cartoon that has a cartoon Santa is the same cartoon Santa. And he just, every year, he like meets somebody new.
Yep, that is his goal. It's not to deliver presents, because that's like an automatic thing.
The real presents were the friends we made along the way. You know, Rubik the Amazing Cube and The Mask and Rambo.
The dream team, honestly.
Let's do something on the show that I like to call the Licensed Animated Adventures.
If you could cartoonify one little bit of your life, what little bit would that be?
So usually we pitch an animated series based on a pre-existing live-action property. I think that it would be fun this week to talk about Jim Carrey films that should have been adapted to cartoons but weren't. So excluding the ones that were adapted, Ace Ventura and The Mask. So what do you think could have been a really great Jim Carrey cartoon? Not starring him, of course. Let's say Rob Paulsen returns.
Okay. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That was my second choice. It would be so incredible because he would be constantly... That was exactly where my mind went to. It would be him and Clementine meeting each other literally every single episode. And then at the end being like, I fucking hate you so much. I'm going to go erase you. And the next week they meet each other again. And he's like, orange hair. Pretty cool.
But it's like all in the style of The Mask. So it's super over the top cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like trying to kill each other by the end of the episode. And then they have their mind Men in Blacked away.
Uh-huh.
Which also was a series.
Yeah, that would be a great crossover episode. The Men in Black always show up at the end of The Eternal Sunshine. And then there's one episode where they decide not to erase each other. And the Men in Black show up and they're like, hey, what's going on here? We're here to neuralize you guys. You scheduled for Tuesday at 6? Yeah, we're here.
What was your number one?
My number one, and this is sort of self-serving, but Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh my God.
I have said 1,000 times, because I have a Series of Unfortunate Events podcast, I have said over and over again, they should have continued the Jim Carrey film as an animated series and done all 13 books. And then sure, you can do the live action remake later on Netflix, but like a cartoon Nickelodeon series.
That would have been incredible.
It would have been pretty sweet. In 2005, the heyday of Nickelodeon, that's probably not true.
It was an heyday.
Sure. Danny Phantom was on. Great show.
Yeah.
Fairly Odd Parents was still good. SpongeBob. Just getting
Drake
bad. I don't remember. Drake and Josh. Great stuff. Anyway, I think A Series of Unfortunate Events would have been really fun. Because you could have done all 13 books, like do each one as a two-parter, you know, so you get 45 minutes for each story. And then at the end, maybe it just continues. Like,
yeah,
the continued
they
adventures
get off that
of,
island. And...
Yeah, the Baudelaires or Count Olaf maybe gets like a spinoff. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and they have that tiny baby. So then they have two small children
right.
getting into all kinds of crazy antics. They have the Scrappy and Scooby of the cartoon.
Yeah, and maybe that's what the spinoff is. It's just Sunny and Beatrice Snicket going off on baby adventures, and like Sunny's trying to talk to somebody and they don't quite understand what she's saying. I don't know how Jim Carrey is involved at that point. Well, he was never involved, but I don't know how his character was involved.
No, Jim Carrey comes back as the voice of Beatrice.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, Beatrice has like this crazy amazing cartoonish baritone voice.
And just loves to sing a lot, like sing and dance. And is, at that point, it was CG animated. It was a weird show that never happened.
Oh, man, I miss this alternate universe. I wish we could go back.
Well, this is awesome. Thank you for coming on the show, Chloe.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Where can people find you online?
I am on Twitter and on Instagram as It's Chloe Now. And I also have art accounts under C-Tinney Art. That's C-T-I-N-N-E-Y Art.
And I'm on Twitter at Stop Tweeting Mia, or you can follow my alt account, which is pretty much just the same thing, Mia.com. I basically just started that because I love the username so much, and I'll get sick of it eventually, but who knows. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Cynical Cartoons for another week. As always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and... Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
From zero to hero, the mask is one lean green crime fighting machine. He's a hard-hitting superhero! As he battles the evil mask-stealing Dorian. He's a quick-draw dude with maskitude. Dare to wear the mask. Somebody stop me!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.